Actually, this is somewhat of some of what we were preaching on for the teen boys, but they haven't got much of this. Jesse's just looking for, yeah, say that one point you said. No, we're not going to be going over much of what it's taken a month just to do some of the points. We're not even finished with the women, but there's men and women of Proverbs, and these are specifically when, if you do a search in the Bible, every time you see the person, woman or man, and something is described specifically towards them, like you'd see an adjective in front of the woman or see an adjective in front of the men, what I ended up doing is taking that and making a list of the different types of women described in Proverbs. There's, as you can see, just looking at an overview, you'll see nine bad women of Proverbs. You see four good women of Proverbs. You'll see 16, I believe, 16 bad men of Proverbs. And you'll also see, the good thing is, you got nine good men. If you notice a corollary, that there is more bad than there is good. And we're always short of good, character-driven people, amen? We live in a world that, unfortunately, it's just the world we live in. You're going to see more bad than good. It's a depravity of man. But this is, I guess you could put it as a checklist on our character. This is something you can just take home. We're not going to probably be able to go over everything in every detail. But this is just a pretty much a checklist on our own character. You can apply this for those that are not married. When you go over the women part, look for character in women that you might someday want to marry. Make sure they're not the kind of bad women that the Bible describes in Proverbs. You don't want that. I tell you, there's a lot of people in this room that could tell you that they thought someone was different until they married them, and all of a sudden it's not the same person that they married. And it was not the good person they thought they saw or thought they had. And you see a lot of things of that sort. Same thing with the bad men. Women, you should be looking at other men. Yeah, looking at other men. Those that are unmarried should be, if you are ever interested in getting married, you better watch. Better make sure they're not some of the bad men in Proverbs. Because I see a lot of people that think as if they can change them, or, oh, they'll change once we get married, that kind of thing. It just doesn't happen. Okay? It just doesn't happen. God can change people. God has always been able to change people. God can change us day by day. He can change us month by month. He can change us year by year. But one thing is one thing that I probably pretty much major on is the character. I deal a lot with just preaching to youth and preaching at a lot of younger age. But I hit on the biggest thing. I think the easiest thing in the world is to get saved. You have to admit the easiest thing in the world will always be to get saved. It is. You didn't have to do anything to get it. All you had to do is accept it, believe, trust, and that's it. But it's hard to get character, and it's hard to get Christian character. Amen? That's why Proverbs, things like holiness, things like wisdom, are things that people just don't necessarily like. They look at it as very boring. Oh, come on. But as you will see, some of the verses that they talk about these specific people, it's amazing how sometimes it hits me right between the eyes and say, ooh, that's something that I got to work on. That's something in my character I got to change. And in my personality, I have to change. We're all at work. We're all in a process. Amen. We're all hopefully someday just going to be better and better and better, but we're a work in process. Amen. Now, what you understand is we all, no matter what our age, we should always be striving to be men and women of character, and not bad character, but a good Christian character. So if you want to, there might be times where we open up the Bible, but most of the time we'll be sticking with the sheet that you have. But there's nine different bad women described in Proverbs. Now, if you notice, one, two, three, you notice how one is strange woman, two is evil woman, third is whorish woman, fourth is foolish woman, fifth is odious woman, Six is adulterous woman. Seven is contentious woman. Eight is an angry woman. Nine is a brawling woman. I want you to notice one thing about all nine of these different ladies that are described in Proverbs. Did you notice there's only one reference to evil woman, one reference to whorish woman, one reference to foolish woman, one reference to odious woman, one reference to adulterous woman, one reference to contentious, one reference for angry, and one reference for brawling. But look at how many is for the strange woman. If you say, if you want to put your blinders on, you can say, oh, no, no, America doesn't have that problem. Christianity doesn't have that problem. Yes, we do. If you want to do an in-depth study, we won't get into it because we don't have all the time in the world to go over all these things. But when you see that strange woman, go home and look at the context of those verses, and it starts describing in detail the strange woman. And I mean describing it in a way where you say, whoa, wow. A lot of people think it to be like, you know, a prostitute, something like that. A lot of times a strange woman is not necessarily the prostitute, which you'll find out. And the very first one, Proverbs 2:16 says, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, with flattereth with her words. Did you notice what's one thing that the strange woman, well, the whole book, it says, hey, I'm giving you these proverbs so they'll deliver you from this. This is as a wise father is talking to his son, say, hey, the reason why I'm giving you all these proverbs and everything else is so I can deliver you from the strange woman. And he said, now this is what the strange woman does, even from the stranger with, and here's the words, flattereth with her words. Be careful. I've seen a lot of men do a lot of things for women just because of what a woman has said. A woman can make a man do practically anything. I watched it. I watched it in college. I watched it as a teenager. I watched it in the ministry. Be careful how we flatter with our words. And we just flatter and try to put a rosy picture up, or we just try to get something from someone in a way where we're trying to get something out of it. Seeing the strange woman is someone that's actually flattering with her words. Always, you think, wow, it's such a nice person, but she's trying to get her way and trying to get what she wants. Be careful of that, because what's the very next verse? Proverbs 5:3, what's it say? For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. I could tell you a lot of times where a lot of guys have gotten involved with strange women that have had affairs with strange women. Unfortunately, it comes from, wow, she's just so much better than my wife. Wow, she's so much better than this and better than that. And all of a sudden he starts thinking it because she has all these flattering words and everything else. And as soon as they get it, it's not who you think it is. Pastor school one year, all Pastor Scott would talk about over and over and over again. He said, you wouldn't believe how many men run after people in the ministry, just run after them because they want that position. They want it. But as soon as they get the pastor to fall, and they get him to run after that girl, and they flatter him and do everything they can for him, then as soon as he loses his position, where do you think? She just goes to somewhere else. So be careful of that. I mean, you'd say, well, that's not like me, but sometimes we somewhat have somewhat of an attitude where we just try to get something that we shouldn't need, and we sort of flatter to get it. So just be careful, because look at Proverbs 5:20. It says, and why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? One thing I'm very leery of, I understand you all have to, different cultures for different places. I mean, you go to the Philippines, there's certain ways where they actually take the elderly and they go like this, you know, and they touch here and there. And there's certain areas where each person kisses. I've watched that. My wife's side is Italian. When I go to the funerals and weddings, everybody's kissing everybody. Guys, the guys, girls. I mean, I'm just sitting there going, whoa, this is wild. There's different cultures, I understand. But what this is not talking about is, hey, how you doing? You hug the person and say, how you doing? This is talking about embracing. Be very, very careful. Be very, very careful. What's the Bible talk about in Corinthians? It's good for a man not to what? Touch a woman. Besides a handshake and some friendly gesture, that should be it. Because there's one thing about a strange woman, and this is one thing I have to always touch about, because I see over and over and over, and I keep seeing it over and over and over, is pictures of teen guys and teen girls all with their hands all around each other. Read it. Read it. It says, a strange woman likes to embrace people. Be careful. I'm very leery when I watch a girl, just she doesn't care who he is and just wants to embrace her and put her arms around whatever guy she can get around. That's not a godly person. That describes someone else. But we'll go on. Amen. Proverbs 7:5, again, if you notice, it uses the same words, flattereth with her words. Actually, it's the same as Proverbs 2:16, practically. But also, we'll skip Proverbs 28:16 and Proverbs 27:13. If you want an explanation of that one, you can come to me later. For Proverbs 23:27 talks about, for a whore is a deep ditch and a strange woman is a narrow pit. I've seen a lot of people that sit there and say, it'll never happen to me, it'll never happen to me. I could tell you so many pastors that said, it's not usually the ugly women that run after them. And I'm not kidding. I've talked to probably this year at least two that said it's not the ugly women that run after you, it's the pretty ones. And you say, wow, pastors, oh, you wouldn't believe, they're targets of the devil. And if you think you're not, you better be careful. You say, well, that would never happen to me. A girl would never chase after my husband or whatever. It's a wicked world out there. It is a wicked world. And there's so many out there, you've got to be careful. That's why if you try to have good standards, standards keeps what? Does it keep you in or keep the bad guys out? It mostly keeps the bad guys out. That's why you have standards in your home. That's why people always say, well, I would never be a strange woman. But I have a big problem with what you bring into your home. Amen? You bring in movies that are strange women, pictures of strange women. There's a lot of movies out there that portray strange women as the best thing there is. You know, hey, what's the big deal? TV portrays women as strange women. Amen? You ever notice that? They think it's no big deal for women to be touching and being around guys and dating this guy, and next time you sleep with this guy, sleep with that guy. And America makes it look like it's nothing. But I want you to understand it's dangerous. Because it says right there, it's a narrow pit. Boy, when it gets people in, sometimes some of those things last a long, long time. Some of the things you get out of it. And I know some of you in this room have run into problems, I'm sure, in your life. But some of you that are younger, you need to pray with all your heart that God would give you a Christian young man or woman. Amen. And I feel privileged myself to even have a good Christian woman as my wife. But I want you to understand is that should be your priority as a young person. It should be a priority because I've seen a lot of men marry people, unfortunately, out of the will of God, and they want to do something for God, but the woman tears them away. Just tears them away because it's not the person they thought they had when they got married. So be careful. The next one says, even the eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. The next verse says, the mouth of strange woman is a deep pit. Did you notice that? The words, 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 flattery, 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 embracing. Isn't that about what they portray in movies nowadays? That's the way women should be, provocative. You know, you got to say things just so, and you got to look at them with the right eye, you know, and all these other things. And you got to move your body a certain way. That's how the TV portrays them, but the Bible says no, they're strange women, you should stay away. Because the very first verse says, to deliver thee from the strange woman. Many men have been destroyed, many men. Not even to go too far ahead, but the very last man you'll see, strong man, number 9 on the good men, it actually talks about in Proverbs 7. 26, it's actually in the context of a strange woman saying, for she hath cast many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. So be very careful on your standards. Probably the best thing for you, especially nowadays, is never be alone with another woman, no matter who it is. Amen? The only person that you should be alone with is your wife, if you're married. Beyond that, I would try as best as possible. We live in a very hostile world. You get caught alone with another opposite sex, you will. I got enough lawsuits that I could read you, and just it makes me cry of watching things over and over and over again that it's getting redundant. Then I keep watching it, and I say, well, that person probably wouldn't have the problem they had if they would just had good standards. There's other things. The evil woman, to keep thee from the evil woman, which just means bad. The horse woman, we don't have to go over that. But I know it's in Proverbs 6:26, if you look at that verse, says, by means of a horse woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. It's amazing how low you can be brought down. How low you can be brought down so low by the wrong woman. Look how he describes number four, a foolish woman. A foolish woman is clamorous. She's simple and knoweth nothing. Pretty much it's saying a foolish woman is someone that's loud and doesn't really know anything. I notice it's very, I guess it's couth if a girl doesn't know how to cook. It's couth if the girl doesn't know how to do anything, but maybe shop, go out to eat. But when you get married, you're going to, some of you men think, hey, they're just going to get married for the look. She's got a beautiful face and other things, and that's all I'm getting married for. Boy, you better not, because I know a lot of people. The best thing some of you ladies can do, and some of you parents, teach your kids how to cook. Teach them how to be thrifty and sew and do things that are worthwhile. Amen? They're going to need how to know how to cook, because I've watched people. What do we do now? We're married. What? You mean you can't just get out and grab some food? No, you got to learn to cook. You'll find out really quick that money will just go away if you've got to go out to eat every single night because you don't know how to make anything besides hot dog and macaroni and cheese. Amen? Even though that does go a long ways in college. But but there will be a day when you just need more than that. Amen? But a foolish woman, an odious woman is a hateful woman. For an odious woman, when she is married, he's talking about some things that are just bad, and he's talking about some things that are just that shouldn't be in the world, saying an odious woman, a hateful woman, just when she is married. There's one thing about a bitter woman. You ever watch a man that gets married to a woman that's so bitter that her life is destroyed, and he just goes from happy to all of a sudden, oh yeah, yeah, her, come on, you know, and very bitter, very hateful. Adulterous woman, I don't think we have to go over that. Contentious woman just means strife. A continued dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. You ever heard of Chinese torture? That's what that means. A continual dropping in a very rainy day. You ever, I know I have this, when it starts raining, I have this eaves trough, and I don't know what happens, but every time it rains, I hear this. And it goes on all night long, and I'm just sitting there going, I can't get it to stop. I wish it would stop. And then it just keeps on going, and you're like, oh, I wish it would stop, because it's right outside our bedroom, you know. And I'm just sitting there going, oh, well, that's what it's saying about a contentious woman that's always fighting, always in strife, always, got to have my way, and everything else it's saying. It's just like a Chinese water torture. Continually goes. Hey, when you're young, strive to be someone opposite of that. Strive not to be an angry woman in Proverbs 21:19, and for sure, the same thing, Proverbs 25:24 says, better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Brawling woman is a fighting woman. I will have to say something funny. I mean, I've seen men fight, but it doesn't compare anything to women fighting women. If you know what I'm talking about, some of you are smiling like, yeah, it's wild to watch. Now, a brawling woman is something that shouldn't even be said of a Christian woman, okay? That should be something that should be so far from our vocabulary that we shouldn't even be thinking of slugging or hitting and being a fighter. But I'd rather dwell on the good women, wise women. If you notice, there's only one reference for wise women. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. So wise woman builds, not tears down. One of the best things I've ever heard of is you'll even just always find something good you can compliment someone with. Always try to find something you can find to compliment. I mean, even if that's maybe the ugliest person you ever met, just say, hey, I really like that shirt. You know, find something you can compliment. Something, somehow. Because a woman, a wise woman, builds her house, her own house. Saying build, not tearing down, but building. But it says a foolish plucketh it down with her hands, saying they tear it down. They just tear their house down. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, the Bible says. Be careful that we're not tearing it down, but we're building it up. A virtuous woman, who can find a virtuous woman in Proverbs 31:10? And that is true because her price is far above rubies. It's amazing. Our culture pushes good looking, good looking, good looking. I thought it was funny when I was talking about that with the teen guys. And one of the teen guys raised their hand and go, yeah, they just put a new store up in the McKinley Mall, and all that's in the store is makeup. That's it. Because that's all we major in our American culture. We major in, you've got to look good, well, look on the outside. But God says, you need to be beautiful on the inside. And that's a virtuous woman, is beautiful on the inside. Don't worry about impressing people to see how tight your clothes can be and see what you can show off. You're not a virtuous woman at all. And I'm sorry to say, if your parents got to remind you every single time, that's too short, that's too tight, this and that, you're not a virtuous woman. You're not, okay? Because that's just the way it is. Try not to be what the TV shows you what a woman should be, or what the movies show you a woman should be. Try to be what the Bible says. Because if you want to be virtuous, you'll be made fun of. They'll sit there and say, what? I mean, when we first moved in our house, people were saying, is your wife Amish? I said, why do you say that? Just because she always wears dresses and it's really like she's wearing these fancy gowns and everything else. I said, fancy gowns? I said, they're jean skirts and everything else, but they're loose fitting. And they were like, why, are you Amish? I said, oh, no. Because their idea of Christianity is very warped. It's very warped. But let's try to be a virtuous woman. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. Amen? I like this. The next one, it says, a gracious woman retaineth honor. How much honor do you give away? Always try to put that towards yourself. How much honor do you give away as a woman? I know it's a lot of women, before they even get married, love giving honor away. They love giving honor away. They want to see how fast they can give it away. With how many guys, and I've seen girls say, hey, they think it's a game to see how many guys they can date in a year. And they, let's see how much honor I can give away. Just give away and give away and give away. And then there's not much left when they get married, huh? Is there? Some of you that are younger, those that have kids, train your kids to say, hey, a gracious woman. That means a woman of charm is what that means. It says, retains her honor. Even when she's married. Hey, I've seen married women give away their honor. Just give their honor away. But a gracious woman retains it. Amen? And then a fair woman, says, a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman, which is without discretion. Discretion is just knowing right and wrong. This is exactly what most of the culture, just most of the world is. Do you notice they always try to portray the, you know, the model girl? You know, she looks so beautiful and pretty and everything else. But do you notice they don't know how to act? Do you ever notice the weirdest thing in the world is watch a pretty girl and just don't know the difference between right and wrong? And you sit there and say, what a waste. That beautiful girl, what a waste. Wow, look at that. What a waste of a life. And all they majored on was this right here. That's it. Just their face. And you say, wow, she's such a pretty girl. And then you see her like 10 years later and go, wow, what happened to her? Because just like this, she was a fair woman. A beautiful woman is what that means. And without discretion, she didn't know right or wrong. It's like putting it, sticking it inside a swine's snout. I've been around pig farms. And one thing I do not want to do is stick my finger up a pig's nose. Well, that's exactly where you're putting yourself in. I don't want to live in a pigsty, and not alone, I don't want to be living inside a pig's nose. Okay? That's what it's saying, as a jewel of gold, something beautiful, and they're sticking inside the nose of a pig, saying that's what a fair woman is without discretion. It's a disgusting thing. You say, wow, what a waste of something beautiful. So be careful about that. But there's a lot of men of Proverbs. Go to the next one. There's much more of them. There's the evil man. Now, look at the end of Proverbs 2:12. It says, speaketh froward things. An evil man has a sick mouth. One thing of Christian character that should never be said is that we should never, ever condone dirty jokes. It should never be said of our Christian character that we even like to listen to them or even repeat them or even to say them on top of it. An evil man seeks only rebellion, for there's no reward to the evil man. Hey, you're not going to get, you think, some people think, yeah, I can just do what I want, when I want, and everything else, and who cares? hit the road if you don't like me, and the whole idea is all about me, me, me. But in the end of their life, it's destruction. There's not much left to their lives. Because it even says, in the transgression of the evil man, there's a snare. They don't even know it, but they're caught in a trap. Many people, I've seen a lot of evil men that they think what they do, they justify what they're doing, but they don't even realize they're caught in a trap. And it even says, go not in the way of an evil man. The wicked desireth the net of the evil men. Now this one I thought was an interesting verse, Proverbs 12:12. If you look at that verse, it says, the wicked desireth the net of evil men. I'm thinking, what in the world does it mean? Put it in layman's term, saying a wicked person likes the traps of evil men. Sort of like this. When someone says, hey, let's do a really joke on this one person. Let's really make them really... I'm making this as low as... I've watched this even in Bible comments where a guy would try to pick on another person. And all the people... It was funny. I call it rebel radar. One guy wants to destroy someone else. And the other guy's like, yeah, let me in on it. You ever heard that? Let me in on it. Let me in on it. I'll go in. Yeah, sure, I'll do it with you. See, the wicked man loves the traps of evil men. Say, hey, I'm with you. Hey, let's destroy that guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I watched in Bible college where a guy that loved the Lord, just loved the Lord so much. And he was a little strange because he actually had higher standards than most of the people there. But I watched some evil men, even in Bible college, destroy him and do all kinds of bad things. And I saw a lot of guys go, oh, I'm with you, I'll do that, I'll do that. And he was the epitome of his, sick jokes. And I'm sitting there going, wow, will you stop? They'd be like, oh, yeah, you're just trying to ruin our fun. Come on, come on. I said, it's not fun. He's angry when you do those things. It's not even right. You're just trying to destroy him just because he has high standards than you. Well, yeah, but he thinks he's better than us. No, he doesn't think he's better than us. He just wants to live for God. He doesn't even care about you. But be careful who you're attracted to. Be careful, because I've watched people, maybe you don't do it physically, but with your words, if I have to watch it myself, when I'm putting down someone, who's the ones that are going to gather around you? When you're trying to get in and say, yeah, I'm with you, yeah, that's so-and-so, he is bad, he is this and that, and what are we trying to do? We're trying to group together. You know, if there's ever a guy, like bad versus good, what side do you go to? That's what it's saying. The wicked desire than that of the evil man. So be careful. Be not envious against the evil man. And Proverbs 24:1. And the last one says, evil men understand not judgment. That's about self-explanatory. What you understand is, evil men, they don't even understand judgment. They look at it and say, why did he... Come on, he had to pay a ticket? Come on, why did he have to do that? What's so wrong with that? Come on, what's so wrong with that? I hear that so many times of people saying, Pastor Seth, what's so wrong with this? What's so wrong with it? I ask them and say, what's so right with it? You see, an evil man doesn't understand judgment. Mom and Dad, why do you make these rules? Come on. Why do you got to make us do that? Why does our church make us do the certain things we do as leaders in the church? Why? You know why? Because evil men don't understand judgment. Well, they don't understand standards. They don't understand right and wrong. They don't understand a lot of those things. You better check your own character if you're always the one that's always pushing against the envelope and say, come on, come on. Because they're the ones that don't understand the judgment. They just don't understand rules. They don't understand right and wrong. A wicked man is also one that walketh with a froward mouth. We'll go a little faster. Getteth himself a blot. His expectation shall perish. In Proverbs 13:5, you'll see he even says the wicked man is lonesome, which is just disgusting. He perverts the ways of judgment. And Proverbs 21:29 is interesting. It says the wicked man hardeneth his face. Be careful when you harden your face. When people preach and you just go, yeah, I've heard this one again. Oh, come on, I've heard this. Okay, tell it to someone who cares. I watched that. I love going soul winning. Lately, even Chris and I were even talking about that. When he was a teenager, and even Charlie and those that are older, remember when we used to go to Cass Park when we go soul winning? Remember how you could go out to the skaters and you could talk to them? Easy as pie. Remember that? Well, it helped that Chris Check was a skater too, which was neat. But now, if I try to even go out to that same crowd, they just mock me out. They won't even let me talk to them or anything else. It's amazing how their face is hard. I mean, they're hard. I remember the last time we were over there, and I got to lead like three guys here, but I'm talking from there to the violins was about 15 to 20 skaters, and they wouldn't go away. These other three saying, who cares about them? But all I heard them saying, yeah, the guy, he thinks you all got to do is say a prayer, going to heaven, and they just kept mocking. But amazing that these three even stayed and listened. I was sitting there going, wow, they're bad. And they're like, yeah, don't worry about them. He even knew they were hard. But what makes your heart, your place, your face hard is just being wicked. Amen? Well, the next one is forward, which just means perverse. If you notice with number 3, number 10, number 11, and number 13, look at the similarities. Number 3, a forward man soweth strife. Look at number 10, a wrathful man stirreth up strife. Number 11, an ungodly man diggeth up evil. Do you see the similarities there? And 13, an angry man stirreth up strife. So look, a forward man sows it, begins it. A wrathful man in 10 stirs it, maybe doesn't make it up, but brings it back to life. An ungodly man, something that was dead, digged it up again. And then an angry man just stirs it up, just like the wrathful man. Sort of funny how we got to be careful what we bring up. I am probably a case in point, probably we all struggle with this problem, myself included. I will always struggle with that. Bringing up things that should just die. Amen? I mean, people still talk about bad things that other presidents said 20 years ago as if it happened yesterday. Amen? Or some things that maybe you made a mistake when you're a childhood and no one will let it go. They got to keep bringing it up, stirring it up, bringing it up, stirring it up. Just be careful, because that's what a forward man does. That's what a wrathful man does. That's what an ungodly man does. That's what an angry man does. Just be careful, because a violent man, look how he entices his neighbor. He just gets him to do wrong. An unfaithful man just, unfortunately, is just, it's like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. I've unfortunately had problems with my sciatic nerve, so it's no fun when you can't move your hips and your legs and you're sitting there going, oh, I'm in pain, and you just got to pretend like it doesn't hurt. So I understand it feels like your whole leg's out of joint, especially your hip. And you're just sitting there going, oh, I can't move. And they'll make you wobble all over. Those people that have back problems and everything else know exactly what I'm talking about. But that's exactly what it's talking about, an unfaithful man. It's saying, hey, an unfaithful man at a time of trouble is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint, saying it's just a terrible experience when you depend on somebody and they're not there. Don't be that kind of person. And don't be a slothful man. Boy, if there's one thing that I wish I could get more teen guys to be is, and those that are business owners know you have one problem right now. If I show hands of those that work in the workforce or are business owners, whatever, there's one problem that we have nowadays is you can't find good what? Help. You can't find good help anywhere because most of the people you hire, they're just like, 5 minutes later, can I have a break? And then 10 minutes, oh, I wish I could smoke like everybody else because they get a 10-minute break. Every 10 minutes, they get a break. I've watched them. I'm sitting there. Those are business owners knows exactly what I'm talking about. I've watched my mom because now that my dad's passed away, I've watched my mom fire and hire and hire and fire. And just constantly, it's hilarious that I'm just laughing because our character now is so lazy. We're so lazy. It's terrible. Because look at it. A slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. The way of a slothful man is a hedge of thorns. It's just a rough life. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom. I just like the word he hides. A slothful man, a lazy man hides. A lazy man has excuses. There's a four-letter dirty word, and a lot of people don't like it. It's called work. They don't like it at all. Some people, they hate to work. They'd rather play a video game. They'd rather do everything. I know this sounds rough, but I don't even let my kids. I'm very transparent in what I do at home. Now, this is not saying this is everything you do. This is my opinion. This is not yours. But because I've watched my poor business parents just have such problems of hiring and firing, hiring and firing, that I made it that my kids are only allowed one movie a week. And maybe they're only allowed 1 hour of video games a week, and that's it. That's all I allow. People, and we don't watch TV either. So that's it. And people go, how can you do that? Guess what? They got to go out and they got to work and they got to split. Well, I split the wood, but they got to stack it. They got to clean up all their toys. They got to do this. I'm not picking it up for them. They're going to do it themselves because I'm going to teach them the four-letter dirty word, work. Amen? They're going to have to clean up their own rooms. I'm not going to clean it up for them. But we can go on all day on that. But deceitful, foolish, unjust, wrathful, ungodly. We went over some of the others. Angry man, contentious. Do you notice there's a contentious woman? We ought to talk about that. But hey, there's just a contentious man just as much. We talk about how, oh, women, some women are so contentious. They're always trying to, fight, fight, fight. But I know men that are the same way. If I don't watch it, I can be that way. A scornful man. A riotous man. But good men, and we have about 3 minutes left. But the best that you can be, there's only nine. Did you notice how there's very few that are good, but there's a lot that are bad? Did you notice that corollary in Proverbs? Did you notice how there's tons of references on strange, but only a few references on everything else? The Bible's trying to tell us and say the majority of people are that way. The majority of people are that way. Even as human beings, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be bad. Amen? We'd all be into drugs. We'd all be messed up if it wasn't for the grace of God. Every one of us would be destroyed. But that's why it's good that the only way you can be a good man, be a diligent man, be a prudent man. Look at prudent man. It says, conceals knowledge, dealeth with knowledge, looketh well to his going, foreseeth the evil. Do you see that? Do you notice one thing about a prudent man is a thinker? A prudent man is a thinker. I very rarely run into someone that thinks. Hey, I have an education major. And those that have education majors, there's two different education theories out there. Those that are teachers, no. There's one that started in the early 1900s. There's one before that. And the one before the 1900s were teaching kids to think. The ones they do now are not teaching kids to think. They're teaching them to do exactly what I say and nothing else. You can have the right answer, but if you do it the wrong way, it's right or wrong. It's wrong. Because they're teaching you not to think on your own. They just want you to be a robot. And it's a different way of education. You think I'm kidding? You could talk to some of these teachers. It's true in the public school, and not just public school, but others. There's just two different forms of education out there. But I want you to understand, we need to be thinkers. We need to be faithful men. Hey, a faithful man shall abound with blessing. Is that what it says in Proverbs 28:20? Is that what it says? A faithful man shall abound with blessing. Just one. No, it says plural. It says blessings. Hey, there's something about just being found faithful. I'm glad you're out here tonight. I'm glad that you're faithful. And there's a good man. There's a merciful man. That's an interesting thing. A merciful man doeth good to his own soul. If the worst thing you can do in your life is condemn yourself. You ever been there? You do something that's wrong, and then you just condemn yourself. Oh, I'm worth nothing. See, a merciful man says, hey, you help out your own soul, where you say, hey, I'll have mercy on myself. A lot of times we don't have mercy on ourselves. We condemn ourselves and say, oh, do you know what I did wrong? Oh, God, you'll never love me again. God, how could you ever love me again because of the things I've done in my life? Oh, I'm And then you condemn yourself. Well, a merciful man says, hey, thank you, God, for having mercy on my life. I'm going to go on with my life. A righteous man, a just man, a wise man, but we ran out of time. But I want you to understand the last one is strong man. A gracious woman retains honor, but a strong man retains riches. One thing is you want to retain things. You want to keep things. Take these home. There's a lot of verses that we went over. Probably didn't do much justice to the whole thing. But take it over. Read these with your kids. Try to even make a little devotion out of them. I always try to say things here and there. I try to teach myself some of these things. But we all need to be the nine men, the nine good men, not the 16 bad men. We all need to be the four good women, not the nine bad women of Proverbs. Amen? We need to just take it to heart and say, God, if I have a problem, if there's something... Hey, when I was going through these verses, I immediately thought to myself, oh, that's one thing I just have a problem with and I need to get over it. So let's all bow our heads, close our eyes, and we'll just...